You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 30th of April 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at RadioAlbion.com, because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm very happy to see this month go. This has been the weirdest, most bizarre month of my 48 years. So that is the 30th. I'm very pleased with this.
It's been a very, very bizarre month weather-wise over here in Britain. I think it's been the sunniest, bestest weather we've ever had in April, and everybody's had to spend it in at home. It's a bit of a poetic justice there, but it's going to be May tomorrow, 1st of May, and we're supposed to have bank holidays, and again, everybody's just stuck in at home. But we are going to be talking a little bit about the banks today anyway, and in particular the price of gold, because apparently the price of gold is going through the roof, and it might possibly double within 18 months. At a time of weak economic growth and increased market volatility, analysts are getting more bullish on gold. According to Bank of America, the precious metal is headed 78% higher to hit $3,000 per ounce within 18 months. As economic output contracts sharply, fiscal outlays surge, and central bank balance sheets double, fiat currencies could come under pressure, and investors will aim for gold, the bank's analysts said, adding that the US Federal Reserve has provided enough momentum to propel investment demand and prices even higher. They have warned that the Federal Reserve's balance sheet as a percentage of GDP could rise 20% to 40% this year, and they have also pointed out that the Fed can't print gold. So, Matt, first off here, what is the Federal Reserve's balance sheet as a percentage of GDP, gross domestic product? What does that sentence actually mean there?
Well, to some extent, it's a very fancy way of explaining inflation. You've considered the Federal Reserve, a private bank, has assets and liabilities. There's maybe a few years ago, it was maybe $1 trillion, which was, I don't know, maybe 6% of GDP. But overwhelmingly, that's the amount of currency in circulation, which is always its biggest liability. Because as we all know, currency comes with its own debt built in. Now, given all of the cash over the last month that the Fed has pumped into Wall Street and everything else, that's going to continue to go up. They're talking such a very high percentage of GDP. Usually it hovers around 6 or 7%. But bringing it up that high, you're talking about very serious inflation. And when you have a country that doesn't have a lot of gold – compared to places like Russia and China, you're looking at serious problems. The other side of it, of course, is the fact that the Treasury is the banker. I'm sorry, the Fed is a banker for the Treasury, and the Treasury is in a disastrous area. So of course, the liabilities are overwhelming against this. It's probably the worst run bank out there, given how the government operates. So the higher that percentage goes, the worse it is for everybody. 40% is unprecedented. That's Weimar Republic level inflation.
Well, let me just confirm this with you. So that balance sheet, that's basically the amount of notes that are actually the amount of currency that's in circulation, and that's being measured as a percentage of the gross domestic product. The rest of the money, the rest of the currency is not in circulation. It's in the bank's vaults. Is that what you're saying there?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if everything that's been printed is counted, or just the money in circulation. I don't know if bank vault money is very high. Of course, I have to have reserves, and I believe that's figured into it. There's a complicated formula, which I don't know off the top of my head, but I don't think it's merely circulation, but they're not counted quite in the same way, because the fact that it's printed, it's automatically earning interest, no matter what it's doing. But the broader point, I mean, but the money in circulation versus the money held in reserve is that there's no contest. The circulation is far higher. And American bank reserve requirements aren't really that high anyway. And then, of course, the other side of that is having to deal with American government debt. But that's not necessarily included in the percentage. If it is, then you know, the trouble just seems worse and worse. That being the case, that automatically means gold is going to go up. Because to the extent that more money is printed, more money is pumped into Wall Street or the bond market or anything else, that means gold goes up. They don't go up at the same time. They're opposite forces. And anyone who owns a lot of gold right now is a very, very wealthy person.
Well, continuing with the quotes here, they said, beyond traditional gold supply and demand fundamentals, financial repression is back on an extraordinary scale. Rates in the US and most G10 economies will likely be at or below zero for a very long period of time as central banks attempt to push inflation back above their targets. Gold's recent run began back at the end of September 2018, when the precious metal was trading at $1,465.70. Since then, it has gained 15% to $1,689.60. The yellow metal was trading higher on Wednesday, above $1,700 an ounce. And the gold market has further room to run, according to the Bank of America. The trigger here could be an extension of lockdown restrictions over the next few weeks, it said. Well, that doesn't really seem as if it's shooting up that much. It's $100 an ounce or so that it's gone up by 15%. I mean, when you compare that to Bitcoin, I mean, that's, you know, that's extremely volatile. That goes through the roof sometimes and drops down really low. I mean, it doesn't seem to me as if it's actually changing that much, Matt, but this is a big issue, is it, that it's gone up 15%?
Well, gold is supposed to be your stable investment. It's not really supposed to move that much. It moves only because the modern economy is such a disaster. It's so poorly managed. It's supposed to be a place where you go and you're safe. Your investment is not going anywhere. You're always going to make a profit. But it's supposed to be the stable. It's an institution. You know, our currencies used to be based on it. Now, Bank of America is predicting $2,700 an ounce pretty soon, because if there's any extension in the lockdown, that automatically means less consumption. That means more currency floating around with nothing to do. So it's not even circulating anymore. And that's almost the very definition of inflation, money sitting around with nothing to work on. And all that means is, of course, you know, they're going to try to keep rates down to get money flowing. That means they're printing more money if anyone takes the bait. But if this lockdown continues to say another month, gold is going to continue to climb. And remember, the higher the gold price goes, the lower investment confidence in the economy is. So unless you own gold, very high gold price is bad news for the economy, because it's saying that people don't really trust what's going on.
So the gold isn't supposed to move. It's supposed to stay at the same value. And didn't we do a podcast a while back about artificial inflation of the gold price, something to do with the quantitative easing? Or was that to do with the silver price? Because I can remember buying silver years back and thinking this is going to go up in price. And it stayed exactly the same price for about 10 years, and I made no money on it. Were we talking in a podcast a while back about artificial inflation of the gold price, or keeping the gold price artificially low because of the quantitative easing? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was. We are going to talk about that very briefly one more time with the gold-backed exchange traded funds, because you could actually, you know, buy gold without actually buying gold, and that's how you could inflate the price without necessarily having any more in your possession. We'll get to that in a minute, though.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, the demand for gold is absolutely soaring. Global investment demand for gold soared to a four-year high of 539.6 metric tons in the first quarter of the year, as investors sought safe haven assets amidst the coronavirus outbreak. The World Gold Council said in a report that the pandemic was the single biggest factor influencing gold demand. According to the report, the inflows of 298 metric tons for gold-backed ETFs pushed global holdings in those products to a new record high of 3,185 metric tons for the quarter. Total global first quarter gold demand was at 1,083.8 metric tons, up 1% from the same period last year. Now, obviously 1% doesn't sound that much to me, but before I ask you about that, can you just let us know what ETFs are? What does that stand for?
It stands for exchange traded funds. It's a strange investment because you could bet on the gold price without actually possessing any gold. And what we said the last time, I forget when that was, because the U.S. is struggling in the gold department compared to her rivals, how can it manipulate the gold price without actually owning any or producing any more? And it's these funds that do it. They're essentially tracking the gold price, and they're drawing from that money. Somebody somewhere has to own the gold that these things are based on, but essentially you're betting on the price. So it's a very parasitic investment, very typical of our economy. So you don't actually own any gold, but you're betting on things based on it. And so if you issue a lot of these, you can drive gold even higher than it normally is. Now, it'll probably quickly correct itself. Of course, that's based on production, and so much of the production now is in Russia, not just the holding of it, but production of it. It's just automatically going to mean that Russia's going to do well. And it automatically means that the crash in the oil price isn't really going to matter in the Russian economy. I just published a paper on this because not only Russia is not dependent on oil, but her gold acts as a gigantic cushion. Oil price can go to zero as it is, or even negative numbers, and she's still going to be okay. The only thing the U.S. can do about it is to inflate these ETFs.
I'm just remembering here, Matt, when we were talking about it last time, what was going on, there were all these trades that were going on, and they were going on so fast it wasn't actually possible for people to be making them. And through trading this notional gold, they were affecting the actual price of it, and it was going up and down. And then the mainstream news actually reported on this a week or so after we had been discussing it. And I think we were talking about at the time then, but what if somebody actually calls it in and says, you know, we actually want this. We want this gold in our hands. And it seems that that's what's happening now. They're actually wanting the gold in their hands rather than this notional idea and these certificates saying that you own it. They actually want it in their hands. But this 1% that it's gone up by, I mean, is that really that much? I mean, it says it's gone up 1% from the same period last year. Why is that so important?
Well, for one thing, this is a relatively new investment device. Again, this is supposed to be stable. ETFs are strange because, you know, I guess most companies will say that, well, you don't really own any gold, but you're betting on the price, which is the case in a lot of different investments. But because gold is supposed to be so stable, which is why currencies were based on it, when you have an irrational economy, it's not anymore. But the price really almost has nothing to do with production. It has to do with overprinting of money and now a crashing of consumer demand, which also includes demand for gold jewelry, gold that goes into electronics and automotives and everything else, that side of the gold market. So if the currency – I'm sorry, if consumer demand goes back up again, the gold price will eventually level out, but that's a big, gigantic if. But 1% in a market this big, that's a lot of money. And yes, that's what we were talking about last time. We were talking about a variation of the ETF. But think of it like it's like fractional reserve banking. At no time the bet is, anyway, will everyone show up unless there's a crisis coming and demand their money? So they could leave just a small amount behind and loan everything else out. It's the same thing here. The assumption is that not everyone at the same time is going to demand gold, so they can get away with this. So it's almost fractional gold marketing rather than fractional reserve banking. It's the same principle.
Well, the World Gold Council said that total bar and coin investment had fallen to 241.6 metric tons as a 19% drop in bar demand to 150.4 metric tons overpowered a sharp jump in demand for gold coins, up 36% due to safe haven buying by Western retail investors. Now, this confuses me a bit because it's the same thing. Whether it's a gold bar or it's a gold coin, these gold bars, they're fairly small. It's not, huge, chunky gold bars they're talking about here. You can buy small gold bars. You can buy small gold coins. So why is it that coins have suddenly jumped and everybody wants it in coin format rather than in bar format?
The only thing I can think of here is that we're talking about a large number of smaller investors who right now are in no position to buy the clunky bars. Smaller investors seem to want to go for smaller amounts. Even smaller investors go for the paper. Now, these kind of crashes and depressions, one of the things that they do is they clean out the smaller investors and make it the economy more and more of an oligarchy. So this is just a temporary matter. This, I believe, was the 25th of May. I'm sorry, of April. This article came out, so just a few days ago. This could be a brief jump, whether you have a lot of small investors putting what money they have into gold because think, well, the economy is going to crash, so I better have gold on me. It makes sense that there'd be a jump in smaller purchases than larger ones. That's the only thing I can think of that it is.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because, I mean, as I say, you can buy small bars. They're not much larger than the coins. Maybe people are looking at it that, they will actually be using the coins rather than the bars, and they'll actually be easy to use as currency. I'm not sure. Well, the gold price, apparently, is actually staying the same. It's the value of the paper that is going down. As investors seek safe haven assets during this crisis, analysts are getting more bullish on gold, projecting its price to surge. RT talked to Claudio Grass, a Switzerland-based precious metals advisor, about gold's true value. According to Grass, the question is not if gold is going higher. It's always the paper price of currency that is fluctuating its prices. He said, an ounce of gold is always an ounce of gold. So basically, gold is not going higher in price. And if you really want to buy physical gold, then you will have to pay much more than the paper price, the analyst added. Grass pointed out that physical gold and the paper price of gold are two different things. I truly believe that gold can go higher, but the paper price of gold could go down to zero because it is a paper security. It's a debt security. It's just a promise. If you buy physical gold, that is completely different. It's an ownership. You own an asset, real goods, he explained. Now, this is really interesting because, I mean, what he seems to be saying there is that faith in fiat currency could completely fail and people would no longer rely on fiat currency because the banks would not have the ability to honor all those debts because all of that currency, every one of those dollars, those pounds, it's only come into existence because somebody has taken out a debt somewhere. If they can't pay those debts back, then all of that currency is absolutely worthless. So is that really what he's saying here, that he thinks that that could actually happen? It could go right the way down to zero and you can't actually buy gold with normal currency because there's no more faith left in that currency, Matt?
I think he's saying two things. The first one is almost what you're saying because, paper currency deals with both the faith that it has value and the objective existence, as you say, of taking out loans. But the other thing he means is paper prices of gold versus actual gold, what we just talked about. People betting on prices rather than actual gold. So, there's three different levels. There's simply, simply betting on paper, which is the ETF, the modified version, which is just a promise, and third, actual physically buying gold. So this is why you have demand that's far higher than the amount of gold out there it's relative motion. If gold is absolutely stable, and it's the currency that's fluctuating. If the currency is stable, then it's gold that's fluctuating. He's just talking about objective amounts here. But I think it's going to take a lot for the faith, and because faith, confidence, that's the whole thing. If people believe that these dollars have value, then they have value. It's going to take a long time before people look at a greenback or something like that and not take it seriously. It's going to have to mean that the media is going to have to, really pound on that, which I don't see that happening. So there's different methods of investment. And because of that, if it was just a matter of buying and selling actual gold bars, it would be a more rational price. But it may even go beyond $2,700 because of all of these other mechanisms to cash in on the gold market without actually having to buy anything. And then brokers take a big fee. And as this keeps going up, people take a profit if they're betting on it going up. But again, that money has to come from somewhere. So every one of these is inflationary. But will this reach a point where the paper currency is seen as worthless? I'm not going to predict there. He may be saying this, but there's two different definitions of paper price here, not just paper currency, but also the different kinds of investment in gold too. A paper investment is not actually buying gold; simply betting on the market. So this is, and again, I think that's a small time, small investor thing to do. It's you're cashing in rather than actually having to buy an amount of gold that you then have to guard somewhere.
Well, some people might say, well, we should go back to a gold-based currency. Why don't we have a gold-backed currency? And the problem is there just isn't that much gold out there. I mean, you have to – it takes a lot of resources to actually dig the gold up, find the gold, dig the gold, refine it. And is there enough out there to actually – back all the currency? No, there isn't. That's why it had to be separated from the currency, and that's why we have this fiat system that we have. The problem with the fiat system is that there's usury that is attached to it, and the money to actually pay that usury, it doesn't exist unless another person takes another loan out, which is why it builds up and builds up and builds up until you have huge debt, and then you have to have it crashes basically, and all different there are all different reasons for why it does crash, but it does have to crash at some point. But what's happening here is we've got the coronavirus, which is causing it, and then we've got them taking advantage of that. Well, at the moment, there is an unprecedented debt bubble because of the coronavirus pandemic, and all financial markets are completely overvalued, Grass said. Talking about the stock market, he noted that we haven't yet seen all the bankruptcies, all the unemployment rates. People are still paralyzed and in fear because of coronavirus, and the financial panic of the stock market is still coming. The price of gold is rising because the purchasing power of the US dollar and other currencies like the euro are depreciating. Whenever you are printing, you are debasing the currency. Grass explained that when you buy something, you have to buy when things are cheap, like physical gold, which is money. Everything else is credit. He continued, so gold is cheap and it's physical and it's outside the banking system, and it's a perfect hedge against all the risks in the current financial system. So the more, but also Matt, as well as the value of the fiat currency going down, also you're going to have a limited gold supply, surely, aren't you? If more people are going to be buying the gold, that's going to drive the price up as well as the depreciation of the currency, isn't it?
Well, they work in tandem. It's a chicken and egg question. What this guy's saying, this guy sounds like one of our people to some extent. Because the real reason I included this is that, first of all, that there's going to be a lag. People are kind of frozen right now. And so the consequences of all this are going to be maybe a few months into the future. I hope he's wrong, but that depends on when things open up and where. Some places are less hit than others. And that gold is going to continue to go up because people like him are saying that the crash is still, whatever it is, a quarter away. The other reason I think he's one of us, this grass, is that the only thing that really matters is gold. Everything else is credit. And that sounds like Eustace Mullins. I don't know how popular this guy must be. I mean, he's obviously an important person in the market and in the Swiss banking system. But it's an extraordinary thing to say, and very, very few people on Wall Street will say that. They know it's true, but they won't say it. But he also reiterates what we've already said, in that, you know, currency and gold are always opposing forces. I suppose it's conceivable that they'd go up in the same way, but I can't imagine how that would be. And he also reiterates the fact that it's supposed to be a hedge. A hedge, by definition, is something that's safe and it doesn't go anywhere. So what it comes down to is, when you base an entire economy on credit, as he says, it's going to become completely irrational, and then gold will not be stable anymore. Or, the way he puts it, because the economy is irrational, gold will appear to go up and down, but he just means that just means that the paper currency is going up and down. So it's really a chicken and egg question. It's unhealthy, whichever position you take.
Well, the elites are hoarding it, and they're hiding it, basically, because they've got concerns that the government might step in and take all the gold off them, which of course has happened before. It happened during the war. Is that is right, wasn't it? They took all the gold, Matt, at the war, didn't they?
That was in the 30s, I believe. That was before the war started.
Yeah, I just thought I'd better confirm that.
Yep.
The strategic case for owning gold remains strong, according to analysts at Goldman Sachs. They point to such factors as political uncertainty, recession fears, and other worries among the global elite. Data from Goldman Research showed that owning the physical metal seems to be the global elite's preferred way to hedge against tail events. Physical buying of gold has increased at a rapid pace in the past 3 years, statistics showed. Since the end of 2016, the implied build in non-transparent gold investment has been much larger than the build in visible gold exchange-traded funds, Goldman said in a note sent to clients and seen by Yahoo Finance. So until now, it's just been the trading of paper ownership certificates, and now it's starting to be called in, and people are cashing in those certificates. So those certificates, and are expecting to be paid the gold that they have purchased for, when really the people that were doing that were expecting to be able to keep exchanging these paper certificates forevermore. Is that correct, Matt?
Yeah, think of what a run on a bank is.
Right.
Now, here's the question. Now, you mentioned FDR. Right after his election, I think as a New Deal first went into motion, one of the first things he did was ban the trading of gold domestically. Now, that's what, 1935? You know, the distribution of gold and the power of the American government over gold is now completely different. In the 1930s, you know, the U.S. and Great Britain were you know, these were his dominant powers. But that's not the case anymore. Gold has gone elsewhere. Now, the question is, let's just say that there's an attempt to do that, you know, or the super elites up in the Hamptons or something like that, are they going to give it over? What are they going to do? You're going to have a crisis. And then what's that going to do to the price? If gold goes out of control, I could picture something like that, the state doing that, but I can't imagine what the results are going to be. If this article is true, that means these people will refuse it. And I have no prediction in that respect. And it just shows you that these people are so desperate to hang on to it, they'll hide it, they'll do anything, showing that this is the value in the economy. It's a talisman almost.
Well, Gary Lynch, the general manager of Texas-based Rising S Company, told CNN that 2016 sales for their custom high-end underground bunkers grew 700% compared to 2015, while overall sales have grown 300% since the November US presidential election alone. Political risks, in our view, help explain this, because if an individual is trying to minimize the risks of sanctions or wealth taxes, then buying physical gold bars and storing them in a vault where it is more difficult for governments to reach them makes sense. the investment bank added. Finally, this bill can also reflect hedges by global high net worth individuals against tail economic and political risk scenarios in which they do not want to have any financial entity intermediating their gold positions due to the counterparty credit risk involved. And the article continues to talk about how these sales of these underground bunkers have just shot through the roof. And it's all these elites that are buying these bunkers. It just happen to be the same elites that are also buying up all this gold. And that's where it's going, is into these bunkers in an attempt to prevent the government from requisitioning it, I would suggest.
I wonder if these are the same people that attacked the preppers and attacked the militias who were kind of doing the same thing at a much lower level. And here they are building, and you could assume there's armaments involved and there's mines and there's all kinds of security systems. Are these the same people who attack, you know, obviously these people are planning on some kind of a disaster. And if these people are doing it, then what should we be doing? That's one of the reasons I wanted to have this in here. If the elite are buying bunkers and building these security systems, what, 300%, 700%? What should we be doing? This whole show has been alarming, but this one in particular, we're ending with it because it's the most alarming of all.
Elite preppers, aren't they? Elite preppers, and what they do is they fill it up with gold rather than tins of baked beans and all the rest of it. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.